So today we're going to continue our series on turnarounds. We've had a number of sessions on this already, some looking at specific people like Rahab, Ruth, Ahab, Elijah, others just reading general doctrinal comments about it. Today we're going to look at Thanksgiving, which we often do this time of year because here in the United States, we obviously have a national holiday on Thursday of Thanksgiving, which is a wonderful holiday to have. But I have found personally, and I've seen it in many records in the scriptures, that stopping to give thanks to God for what He has done for you is one of the greatest keys to a turnaround in your life. Because so much of life is simply remembering what God has done. And that builds us confidence. I mean, think of a football team that's had a great record and is facing a very difficult, challenging team. If they can sit and remember the plays they've played that have done well and the victories they have had, I can imagine that would build great confidence. Now, that alone doesn't do it. They still have to go out and play hard and think and work together. But simply remembering that, gee, we beat these guys last year, and we can beat him again, has got to be very mentally helpful. And whether or not that works in football, it certainly works in our daily lives. And the scriptures are full of admonitions about being thankful. If you want to have a little word study sometime where you just have a little structured way to do your Bible reading one day, open up your concordance or your Bible software on your phone or your computer and just search for the word thank and all the forms of it. Thank, thankful, thankful, thanksgiving, give thanks, and you will be amazed at the number of places in God's Word where God wants us to be thankful. Now, God is not just doing this to stroke His own ego, although He does love us and He likes when we show appreciation, that's very clear. It's also very helpful for us, because the more we can be thankful and focus on what God has done for us and what we do have, the more confidence we'll have to believe and receive the many other things God has for us. So let's start in here with Psalm 107. It's interesting. I thought I taught this every year around Thanksgiving time, but I looked at my notes and apparently I haven't done it for like 5 years, so it's about dang time, as we say down here in the country. Okay, Psalm 107 and verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That's why we give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. He's good. He's not out to hit us with lightning bolts or to, you know, knock us over if we make a mistake. He's good. He loves us. And then it says His mercy, and that word mercy can be translated loving kindness or steadfast love. His loving kindness endures forever. His loving kindness isn't just there on a certain day of the week. His loving kindness endures forever. Then let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Now this is a fascinating record, because so many of us, and me included often, when we get some bad news or we're in a difficult set of circumstances, we just have a tendency to get negative and get angry about how things are. Well, look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, and let's back up a little bit to verse 4. Then the presidents and princes, these are the top officials in the court at Babylon under Darius the king, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. These other leaders were very jealous that Daniel had gained such prominence by walking with God and by faithfully serving the king, that they wanted to find a little dirt. It's a great game in Washington. I understand it very well. You get out and you try to find some problem in somebody's life that you can get in the news and sort of get them fired or make them resign or get them impeached or something. It's a very popular game in power circles, well, they tried to do that to Daniel. But it says here in middle of verse 4, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said he's doing his job well. He's not cheating or stealing money or using his office unfairly. But he has this different religion than we do. So maybe we can find something there that we can use against him. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. See, the Babylonians there and the Persians and these various groups were very much like the Romans and a lot of other ancient cultures, where when a man became the emperor of this big kingdom, they considered him to be a god. And if they didn't think he was an actual god, they respected him and almost worshipped him as though he were a god. So the idea that all the government officials would go to King Darius and say, hey, let's have a rule that for the next 30 days, you're the only god anybody can pray to, that was not that extreme in that culture. That would have been considered just a way to show great appreciation. Like today, you'd, you know, give somebody a fancy gift or throw a big party for them. That was considered a very respectful thing to do. So it wouldn't surprise the king that they would do it, and it wouldn't surprise anybody that he would accept that. So what they said, verse 7, was all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. And that was a funny thing about their legal system, is that once a law was signed, not even the king could change it. Wherefore, verse 9, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So put yourself in Daniel's shoes. For the next, 30 days, he couldn't pray to the true God. He could only pray to the king, which, of course, is contrary to the Old Testament scriptures, where God says, you shall have no other gods before me. You can only worship the true God. So Daniel's in a tough position. He either does what the king has signed and be healthy and not break the law, or he breaks the law and does what God decrees, which is to direct your prayers towards him. But let's see what Daniel does. Now when Daniel, and you got to realize, Daniel was very high. He was like the number two guy in the government behind the king. It'd be a little bit like if you were in England today, the queen is the head of state, but the prime minister actually runs the government. Well, he was in a sort of similar situation. I don't know if he was exactly prime minister, but it was a very highly placed government official. So he understood what he was doing. Now when Daniel knew, verse 10, that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, some people in that situation would have a hard time being thankful, but not Daniel. He continued to pray and give thanks. He didn't care what the law said. He knew there was a higher law at work here, the law of God, that said he should direct his prayers towards the true God. So he did. So 3 times a day he prayed and gave thanks. And you're probably familiar with the rest of the record. They threw him in the lion's den, but God shut the lion's mouths. They didn't eat him. The king felt bad that he'd been tricked into signing the decree, but he couldn't change it. And as they were closing up the lion's den with Daniel inside, the king said to Daniel that he knew his God would deliver him. He knew the God of Israel would come to Daniel's rescue. And sure enough, when they opened the lion's den the next morning, Daniel was fine. The lions hadn't touched him. and the king decreed that all the various government officials who had sort of set Daniel up by asking the king to sign the decree, he said they should be thrown in, and they were thrown in, and the lions did eat them. So you see, Daniel had a great turnaround. And for him, the turnaround included being thankful. It included continuing to pray and being thankful that God had delivered him. Because you've got to realize, I mean, Daniel had been dragged away as a captive, as a young man. Imagine if, you know, you're sitting there in your town and some foreign government comes in and drags you away and teaches you to be a bureaucrat in their capital city to administer their godless or ungodly empire. And that's what Daniel did. That's what happened to Daniel. Yet throughout the whole thing, he prayed and trusted God, and he came out victorious. So we have such a habit as people to look at the circumstances and to decide they're bad circumstances and give up. But even though Daniel was dragged away as a captive, as a young man, he continued to look to God. He continued to believe God. He continued to pray, and God made him to prosper. And here's another great example where, although the circumstances were about the worst, I mean, talk about inner office politics. I don't know if your coworkers have ever done things to try to hurt you. I've certainly had that happen to me at times. Of course, other times my coworkers have been very helpful, but there's always office politics or job politics. Yet, I've never been in a place where people went out of their way to get a law signed just for the purpose of getting me thrown to the lions. But that's what happened here. Yet Daniel prayed and gave thanks, and what a turnaround. He ended up being promoted and had even more power and even more authority within the government than he had before. And he had a lot before, but he had even more afterwards. So it was a great turnaround, and being thankful was a big part of it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll read some more about this. 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. Meaning I'll speak in tongues, and I'll pray with my understanding, as we did early in the fellowship where you, several of you, prayed out loud. I will sing with the Spirit, so I'll sing in tongues. And I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, if we all just spoke in tongues in a public meeting, instead of having a prayer in English that people could understand, how could somebody say amen at the end? They wouldn't know what we're talking about. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well when you speak in tongues, but the other is not edified. So speaking in tongues, pray, or also called praying in the Spirit, is one of the many things it does. There's about a dozen benefits or positive things that speaking in tongues does. And one of them is giving thanks well. So if you want to give thanks to God, but you can't quite figure out what to say, or there's so much in your heart that you have a hard time putting it into words, just speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues with a thankful heart, and that speaking in tongues is giving thanks well. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, just the next chapter over. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So that day is coming. We don't know where, when it will be, but it's going to come. And until then, we're all going to sleep. Oh, by say, it says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, because there will be a small group that will be, well, not, I don't know how big, there will be a group that will be alive when Jesus Christ returns. And that's the only group in history that won't die. That will go right from this being alive in this earthly body to being alive in the spiritual or heavenly body. But everybody else will die, will fall asleep, and then one day the Lord will come back. So if the Lord came back in the next 10 minutes, we would be part of that group that doesn't sleep. But if he comes back in 1,000 years, or even 100 years, we're all going to fall asleep. Our bodies will die, we'll breathe our last breath, but then the next thought we'll have will be when the trumpet sounds and the Lord is back. So verse 51 again, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible," these bodies that can be corrupted, "must put on incorruption." So right now our bodies can be corrupted. You can stub your toe, you can get a tummy ache, you can get a cold, you can cut your finger. All sorts of things can happen to corrupt or damage these bodies. But the new bodies will be incorruptible. And this mortal, these bodies that can die. I mean, throughout history, people have died. There are no first century Christians around anymore. They've all died. This mortal, the fact that we can die, must put on immortality, must put on the ability to not die. So, verse 54, "When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But now look at this, verse 57, talking about being thankful. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So something else to be thankful for, that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things in life where God has and will provide for us. God has and will direct our paths, supply our needs, give us the desires of our hearts. But then again, we're human. We're made out of dust. We have an old man nature to deal with. Sometimes we're going to do things very well. Sometimes we're going to do things poorly. But whether we do everything well or everything poorly or half poorly and half well, either way, the Lord's coming back and we have eternal life. We've got that victory. You know, it's sort of like being on the road going to the beach for vacation. You may get through traffic, you may not. You may have a flat tire, you may not. You may find a really good place to eat, you may not. Everybody may be happy in the car or grumpy. If you have a dog, the dog may bark or whine the whole way or not. A lot of things you don't know, but you know at the end of it, you'll get to the beach. No matter how quick and fun or slow and annoying the trip is, you'll get there. Well, it's like that with the Lord coming back. We know he's coming back. We know we have eternal life. We want to have the most gracious, peaceful, abundant, prosperous, happy life on the way. But there'll be some bumps in the road. And whether we have a lot of bumps or a few bumps, we'll be there when the Lord returns. And we tend to get all upset about the bumps. But the more we're thankful that we do have eternal life, that the Lord is coming back, that we do have the ultimate victory, the less annoying the bumps will be. There'll just be one little annoyance along the road to what we really want, which is one day to be with the Lord. Verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." It's not a waste of time in the Lord. Help somebody with God's word, it's not a waste of time. Because even if they don't believe, it says in the scriptures, the word doesn't return void. Either somebody else is going to hear about it or believe, or at least you got to speak it, so got to help you. And more than all that, God will bless you. God will bless you as you reach out and give and help others. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest or evident the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Just expect that, that God causes you to triumph. When you go out tomorrow morning, whatever you're doing at work or school or at home, and you have a challenge in front of you, just keep reminding yourself that God causes us to triumph. Ephesians 5. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Just speak in tongues, sing in tongues, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then verse 20, look at this, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks always for all things. So thank God for everything. If it's raining, thank God there's rain for the plants and the crops. If it's sunny, thank God it's sunny so you can enjoy the sunny day. If the traffic is fast, thank God you're getting in quickly. If it's slow, thank God you have more time to speak in tongues on the way to work. Just, there's always something to be thankful for. Just be thankful, be thankful, be thankful always in all things. And it will change your life. I've told you this story many times, and it's still true, that if you're having a hard time being thankful, just focus on it and go out of your way to be thankful. One way to do it is simply make a list of 10 things you're thankful for and read it every night before you go to bed. That may help you. It may help you to have a list like that and read it when you get up in the morning. It may help you to just find some quiet time during the day and pray and think about things you're thankful there. It may help to put a list of 10 things you're thankful for in the refrigerator. So every time you go to grab something out of there, you're reminded. These are just all sort of gimmicks, so to speak. They're techniques. So what the scriptures say is be thankful. But if you can't find a way to get yourself thankful, try one of these techniques or make up a different one or pray and ask God to show you which one will work for you. But you've got to get to that place where you're thankful. You've got to get to that place where your thoughts are focused on what God has done for you and what you already have, because we have so much in so many areas of life. We've just got to not let those one or two annoyances, which we all always have, overwhelm our lives. We've got to focus on the many, many things, many, many positive attributes of our lives which God has provided. Then it's easy to trust Him for the others. So giving thanks always for all things. Philippians 1. And verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that great? Whenever Paul thought of the church in Philippi, he thanked God for them. That's something we can do. We can consciously be thankful. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident, verse 6, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he just was confident that God would continue to take care of them. He was confident that they'd stayed in the Word of God, but he continued to be thankful for them. Philippians 4. Here's a classic section we love and read many times. We'll read it again. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious or worried or distracted or shook up for nothing. We'd say in our modern vernacular, stressed out. Be stressed out for nothing. And you got to really think about that, because it says nothing. And a lot of times we'll read this and we'll say, okay, that works for most people, but they don't understand the problem I've got. Well, whatever problem you have fits in under the word nothing. We have a tendency to think the problem that's facing us right now is like the biggest one anybody's ever faced. And I'm not discounting the fact that we all have challenges, but God says be anxious for nothing. And instead, in everything, by prayer by supplication, which is specific requests to God, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when you face a situation, which we all do, which tends to make you nervous, worried, stressed out, mentally distracted, just sort of overcome, when you face one of those, instead of getting worried and anxious, pray. Make specific prayers and do it with thanksgiving. Just say, Lord, I'm having this tough time with this situation. I'm going to pray that you help us, me work it out. And I'd really like it if it could work out this way. But I'm not going to limit you to that only way. But I'd like it to work out this way. And by the way, I'm really, really thankful for the last 99 times you helped me when I prayed. So I'm just going to expect you to be there. So let's read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So rather than getting anxious, we have to pray and be thankful. Colossians 1. And here in verse 3. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God the Father. And by the way, the reason I keep dropping the word and here is it's just an interesting construction in Greek that if it says God and the Father, it can be, you can basically drop the and out. It means God the Father. If you want me to explain the grammar to you sometime, I'd be happy to. But it just says we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So they give thanks to God, praying always for them. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which he have to all the saints. So he prays for them and gives thanks. What a great thing. Usually, often when people think of folks, all they do is think about their faults. They're nice people, but boy, are they screwed up in this way, or I don't like what they're doing there. Well, it's okay to know somebody has a problem, but if you do, you pray for them. And you give thanks that God loves them and God will help them. You don't sit there just thinking and being negative. That's thinking evil. And the scriptures say that love thinketh no evil. So verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So God made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been transferred to the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, that's a lot to give thanks for, isn't it? Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We've got Christ in us. Now we get to walk with that power of God. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established, made firm in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Or another translation has simply overflowing with gratitude. Have you noticed some people are so into something they overflow with it? I see this sometimes. I was at a meeting Friday morning and I was moderating it and they asked this one guy what was going on in his office and he overflowed. He just sort of went on and on. He was so into this little project he was doing, all these different laws floating around Congress. And he just wouldn't shut up. He was overflowing. Now, fortunately, most of the rest of the people in the audience actually had an interest in what he was saying. I didn't personally, but I was the moderator. My job was just to keep the conversation going. But he overflowed. And you meet other people like that. You ask them, like, you know, they're really into a sports event or a series, and you ask them and they just overflow. They've got so much to say or something else. And that's okay. You have a lot in your mind. You just overflow. You just can't quit talking about it. And that's a very positive thing many times. But this is talking about overflowing with gratitude. You are just so thankful to God. You just can't quit. You can't get yourself to stop thinking about it, to stop rejoicing, to stop talking about it, to stop praying about it. That's what we want to do. We want to abound with thanksgiving. We want to overflow with gratitude. And to do that, we simply have to focus on what God has given us. Which is why, like I say, sometimes make a list. A lot of times people get so focused, so overflowing about the one or two problems in front of them, that's all they can focus on. And you say, what do you have to be thankful for? And they say, nothing. Well, can you breathe? Yes. Can you stand up and walk across the room? Yes. Is there air to breathe? Yes. Is there water to drink? Yes. Is the temperature at such a place where your body is neither baking nor freezing, but you can function? Yes. Have you eaten today? Yes. Do you have a roof over your head? Yes. Do you have clothes to wear? Yes. Did you have some kind of transport, whether it was a car or a bus ticket or feet, to get you here to this meeting? Yes. Do you have a job? Yes. Do you earn enough money to live comfortably? Yes. Is your health enough that you can, you know, function and do what you need to in life? Yes. And you can just go on and on. And everything I said is pretty much what everybody breathing on the planet has, at least in the United States, where we have such abundance. Not always true in every other country, but it is here now and in many places. And that's just a few obvious things. Each of us has other many wonderful, wonderful things God has done for us. But you've got to make a conscious effort to focus on what there is to be thankful for. And if you do that, that builds a foundation in your thinking that enables you to then raise your vision that God can do even more for you and you can accomplish even more and have even more abundance or whatever it is you need so you can move on from there. So just overflow with gratitude. Let's go to Colossians 3:15. What a great topic this is. By the way, I'm not having to make any of this up. It's all right here in the Bible. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, something's got to sort of be the overall operating system that keeps, helps focus things in your mind. Well, let the peace of God be that thing, to the which you're also called, you're called in one body, and be ye, what? Thankful. Be thankful. It's a command. You have to decide to be thankful, just like love is a command. It's not, now I know we have emotions and all kinds of other things connected with love, but you can decide to love people and be kind to them. You can decide to be thankful, or you can decide to be unthankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him, through Jesus Christ. So whatever you do it with thanks to God. Isn't that something? Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. There it is again. Continue in prayer and do it with thanksgiving. With all praying for us, that God would open us unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he said to pray and pray with thanksgiving, and he wanted him to pray that a door would be opened because he wanted to speak the word of God to people. What a great thing to do. When you pray in the morning or whenever you like to pray, one of the things you can pray is that God will open a door of utterance. He will make it available for you to help somebody with God's word. And you do it with thanksgiving. You be thankful that you've been blessed with the knowledge of God's word. You be thankful that somebody spoke the word of God to you. You be thankful that you've had other opportunities at times to help people with God's word. You be thankful for all that. And then you pray that God will open even more doors for you and those you're praying for to reach out with God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So they're always giving thanks for the Thessalonian believers, making mention of them in their prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father. That's amazing. So they gave thanks always, remembering the great things those saints did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In how many things? Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't that something? In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So sometimes you meet people who feel it's better to be grumpy because they're being more realistic. And it's too sort of Pollyanna and simplistic to be thankful. It's not. You can be aware of a serious problem that needs attention and needs great miracles while being thankful for all the things God has done for you. And if you're thankful for what God has done for you, you'll have more confidence to believe positively when you pray for deliverance in that situation, because you know God's taken care of you so many other times. So it is the will of God for you to give thanks in everything. 1 Timothy chapter 1, just a couple here to wrap up. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now that's a lot to be thankful for, because Paul had had some serious issues with the Christian church to the extent of going into homes where what we would call fellowships or churches were meeting and dragging people off to prison, often to their deaths. But yet, Christ Jesus, our Lord, the head of the body, chose to call Paul and put him into the ministry. An amazing thing. And that's good to remember, because we all make mistakes and have bad days and have things go against us. And sometimes we think, that's it. Things are so bad now, they'll never get better. Yet Paul, in spite of dragging Christians off to their death, God still called him. Jesus Christ, his son, still gave Paul huge responsibility within the church. And that's what Paul was showing thanks for. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So again, Paul was thankful that he'd been called. Philemon chapter, or verse 2. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, just before Hebrews, to wrap up here. Philemon 2. Or let's go back to verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee in my prayers. So he thanks God, mentioning me in thy prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And that's a great thing to do to build your confidence, is to simply acknowledge every good thing you have in Christ Jesus. Remember that you have direct access to God, that you have eternal life, that you have the return of the Lord coming, and so many, many things we have. So I think we've sort of seen by looking at these scriptures that at some point we need to get our minds off of ourselves and our individual problems and onto God and onto His great deliverance. It's a great key to a turnaround. And giving thanks, simply remembering everything God has done for you, is a great thing. So for the next 2 weeks, until we meet again, I challenge you all to build thankfulness in your life. Take time to reflect and meditate and remind yourself of things to be thankful for. If it helps you, make a list. If it helps you to sit and talk with somebody and have you discuss areas to be thankful, do that. Whatever it takes for you to get to the place where your thankfulness to God grows, increases, and is living and vital, it will bless you and help your life. And in any areas of your life where you need a turnaround to turn from darkness to light, that will be a big help. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you for the joy of believing you, knowing you, walking with you day by day, and seeing your truth come to pass in our lives. May we have a great couple of weeks expecting your blessings and seeing your power at work in our lives as never before. Thank you for that and your great and wonderful love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.